And it just makes me really happy. All of my songs just make me happy. And I'm like, hey, if you're at my funeral, I want you to celebrate, even if it's under some awful tragic circumstances. Let's not dwell
like
on that.
Like that syntax anyway. You just attempted? Is that the tragedy? Where?
Oh, my God. It's just a constant tragedy.
Wow. Gavin, it's 11:27 a.m.
Well, you know, this is Gaytriarx. So last week was spring break, and I had a lot more quality time with my kid than I've had in a while, right? So we, you know, we had some ups and downs, but we were communicating. We were communicating. At one point, she says to me, Dad, you say a lot of bad words. And I'm like, what do you mean? No, I don't. She said, I have listened to Gaytriarx. And I'm like,
oh no.
I immediately slipped into, sweetie, listen. That is not suitable for children. It is not meant for children. It is certainly not meant for you. But at the same time,
our show
time,
about parenting is not child appropriate. It's not meant for kids.
But at the same time, I stand by everything that we have said on this show. Yeah. I do. And I don't think that there's anything actually offensive if you don't have a sense of humor. But also, like, listen, sweetie patiti. Yes, I call her that. If you listen to something and it makes you feel uncomfortable, come to me. Because I really do curb the things I say. Because listen, you're not 2 years old anymore. I curb the things you say. And I can make disclaimers. I can go back and edit it. I can take out the stuff. She stops me. She's like, Dad, calm down. I got bored after like a minute and a half. Nobody would listen to that.
Did you tell her we have like 5 listeners? So... So you can just fucking suck it. How about that? Yeah, the jig is up now.
How about that overpriced Starbucks in your hand? That was paid for by Gaytriarx. So you're welcome.
Yeah, you know what? That's like, it makes me nervous that she's listening or has listened. But it also, I agree, doubling down. What we say, we stand by what we say. And listen, my daughter is 2, and so I can really fucking lay into her. I can talk shit about her endlessly.
And she's not going to give a shit in 8 years. Yeah. That's for sure. Podcasts will have been replaced by AI robots anyway. So, you know, we'll never make our $700,000 from it. And she won't give a shit anyway.
So speaking of bad words and bad things said out loud, if you listen to the show for longer than 5 minutes, you know I play poker professionally sometimes.
Wait. We have not discussed this.
Yes, we have.
No, our listeners, you and I have, but our listeners do not realize that you're a
sometimes
poker
shark. Sometimes I play poker professionally.
And by the way, I think next week our interview topic should be gay card sharks. So guess what, everybody? David is our guest next week.
Oh, nice. Everyone skip that episode. So I was playing poker and, you know, it is a very heteronormative sport. Okay. I get it. I've learned to assimilate. It's a bunch of like disgusting looking guys sitting around a table in their like late 20s, early 30s. So anyway, I'm at the poker table. I'm playing. And this guy kind of mentions to another guy next to me, oh, I just had this new baby. And they're talking about like having a kid and all the things. So I'm like, oh, I can like maybe jump into this conversation. It's like a level playing field. Yes, I'm gay. You're straight. But like, we can talk about babies and all the things.
And I'm going to play with your mind now also so that I can win at poker. Is that part of the manipulation?
It was not at the time, but yeah, no, that's a good idea. So the guy who had
I feel like I'm not helping this conversation.
You're actually railroading it quite significantly. And I'm trying to tell a beginning, middle, and end. I'm about to get to the funny part. And twice you have just totally fucking railroaded this story. So they're talking about it. And then the guy was like, my wife is breastfeeding or whatever. And then the guy says to him, I can't even say it. I'm choking back vomit. He goes, yeah, breastfeeding. It's fun to watch, huh? Straight people, are you okay? Straight people, are you legitimately okay? I am really worried about you. If this is the conversations you're having. Now, he didn't mean it like it's fun to watch as in like, wow, it's cool to watch your baby, you know, get
no, he was like, this is a This is a turn on.
His eyes narrowed. His like eyebrows went up a little bit. He had that like Grinch smile where it slowly creeps up on one side, and he was like, "It's fun to watch." And I about lit myself on fire. I was like, "Are you kidding me? What is the matter with you people?" So straight listeners out there, please write us in and ask and inform us. Are you okay?
And y'all who are into this and listening to this podcast, please start an internet fight with us so we can get six more listeners, please.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. So what was gross. The response?
I don't know. I blacked out at that moment. I legitimately blacked out. The wall started closing in, and I just – because I was getting ready to kind of – it was like double dutch. I was like getting ready to get in there. I was like, oh, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and let's talk about baby things. And right as I was about to open my mouth, he said that, and I went, this is not for me. This conversation was not meant for me, and I think I need to move out of state.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
gross.
Was not what I was expecting you to talk about at all, or how that conversation was going to go. Wow.
So, Gavin's daughter, we hope you enjoyed that little story, and we're glad that you have liked and subscribed.
Sorry, sweetie, podcast. That I have just, if I didn't embarrass you every moment of the day, I have just quadrupled down and truly made you ashamed to be part of the family. Sorry.
So, speaking of family, let's talk about creating our own. Okay. So, I listen to some other podcasts and I really like them. And what they've all seemed to do very successfully is kind of create a community from their listeners in like usually a Facebook page or something like that, where like another world can exist, right? So there's a really great podcast called The Screenwriting Life that my friend and friend of the show, Lauren McKenna, hosts. And they have a Facebook group. And inside the Facebook group, there's tons of cool conversations and videos. And it's like really cool. And so I was thinking, we need to do that for Gaytrix. I know there's men having babies and gays with kids and stuff, but I feel like Gaytrix is a very specific kind of parent and kind of gay dad. And I think let's have a forum where we can just share the disgusting memes and laugh out loud. So here's my bid to you, listener, is please join our Facebook page. It is basically a shell at this point. We've done almost nothing with it, but we're going to change that. So if you are a fan of the show, if you like the show, if you want to kind of, you know, continue the conversation, please join our Facebook page and let's start doing funny shit over there too.
Okay, boomer is my response. But at the same time, yes, we need some I know Facebook is the largest social media channel out there. And I'm with you entirely, but also, oh my God, we sound so old. You're just silent. And
no, I'm silent because I want you to transition to the next topic. And I don't have one.
Well, guess what? Guess what? I will transition to some other bullshit out there, okay? I just need to throw out – we haven't had so much news in a while. Well, I will say that the Supreme Court is set to make a ruling, a very broad-based ruling on gender-affirming care for trans kids in Idaho. And frankly, it could get scary. I don't like the idea of the Supreme Court weighing into this, honestly, with broad strokes. And – they're also it's a complicated situation because the docket for the Supreme Court is so full right now. They don't have time to listen to some individual cases, or at any rate, they're able to make some arbitrary choices about individual cases versus painting with broad strokes. And they're considering painting with very broad strokes in Idaho, and that's kind of bullshit. But along the lines of total hypocrisy, also just recently, and also hilariously, just recently, there was a ban in Tennessee that was passed that cousins cannot get married. It was voted against by two Republicans who were basically wanting cousins to be able to get married as long as they had a thumbs up from some kind of genetic consultant. And you just think, really? Really? This is where we're going, huh? This is what we're doing.
Tennessee really trying to Tennessee as hard as they can. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to cut their birth rate in half. You can't let cousins fuck each other.
Oh, like, well, luckily our listener is not from Tennessee. But not speaking of brushing with broad strokes. But anyway. Yeah. And then I have a what would you do for you, all right? What would you do? So during spring break, I was a chaperone on a group trip, and it was fantastic, and it was very, frankly, academic. We did a civil rights tour of Atlanta and Montgomery and Selma, and it was really impactful. And part of the trip was that the kids got to hang out. You know, I wasn't, there were 17 kids and 9 adults. And I tried to be as hands-off as possible and not helicoptering my kid and not telling her to get off her phone, although I said that constantly. And trying not to tell other kids to get off their phones, although I said that constantly. But it was the full experience. You know, they absorbed some history and they got to just hang out with each other and be less parented. And it did make me think, gosh, it is really great to see a bunch of kids together on sort of a vacation. And my daughter said to me, I never want to go on vacation with you again. I want to go with friends. And I never vacationed with friends as a kid. It was always just me and my mom, right? So when it comes down to it, how do we feel about paying for another friend to come on vacation with you to entertain your own kid? I realize your kids are real little. You are not even remotely contemplating this right now, but do you have an opinion? What would you do?
Gavin, I hate this segment so much because I have to listen to that twice. Twice an episode. Yeah, again, my kids are 4 and 2, so it's a little hard, but my gut says abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm not paying for your friend to come on vacation with us. However, I do get what she's saying. So what I would say is I would be more active about being like, hey, friend of my daughter's, she wants to go to this beach resort. Do you guys would like do a family group trip?
Mm-hmm.
Pay, like, what is this some rich ass bullshit you're pulling here? Yeah. You're gonna pay my friend to come on vacation with me? I mean, I'm just not that income level.
The other people should be paying. If you're going to do it,
amen.
The other parents should be paying for your vacation, yeah, frankly. 100%. You're
then
paying
yes.
babysitting
then the answer
costs.
Is yes. Yeah.
But the fact is, like, it is true that it kind of kills many birds with one stone, that the parents get a little break from the kids and the kids need a break from your parents. And part of me is all sentimental about it. It's like, I don't want to think that I need help spending quality time with my kids, that they magically actually want to be with me all the time. The fact is, I don't really want to be with them all the time on vacation.
Your daughter already hates the sound of your voice.
Truly does. Truly does. So I think there might be a balance to be struck down the line. I don't know. I got to go contemplate this some more. But
you know what we don't have to contemplate?
What?
Our top three list.
Gatriarchs, top three list, 3, 2, 1.
All three of my songs are basically celebrations of music that isn't necessarily what I think you have to listen to have a full life, but they just make me happy, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you're at my funeral, I want you to think happy thoughts, all right? And okay. Also drink. There'll be a keg and a bar at my
absolutely
funeral,
expected
obviously.
That, yeah.
So I want party music. I want you to sing along. Number three for me, Copacabana. It's one of the few songs I know every single lyric to, for better or for worse. I just do. Number two, Like a Prayer, which I think is one of the top 5 songs of all time, honestly. Hmm. Number one, Rapper's Delight, because I want everybody in the room to go with a hip hop. A hip, a hippie to the hip, hip, hopping to don't stop, a rocket to the bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump, a boogie to with the rhythm to the boogie to beat.
Okay,
Scooby bebop, we rock, Scooby Doo. Guess what? America, we love you. Where you walk and you roll, where there's so much soul, you can rock till 101 years old. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but I like hot butter on a breakfast toast. So learn it before I die, okay?
So those of you keeping score at home, that's 2 times Art has died in this episode alone. So... Oh my God. Okay. So how shall I go? Shall I pick up this dead horse and beat it some more?
If you want.
All right. So my three songs, I decided, like, there's a lot of ways you go with this. I decided that I would go with, like, how I best want to represent me as a person and the different sides of me. So every one of these songs is like a different side of who I am. So in number three, I think it's pretty obvious if you've ever listened to the show before. The Legally Blonde remix. That's going to hit my gay side, right? That's like, hey, guys, remember, he was pretty gay. And so we're going to play the Legally Blonde remix. In second place, we're going to do Juvenile's Back That Ass Up. And that's going to come from my hoe comedy era, right? Like, so that's going to be, you know, knock a pussy out ya, on the couch ya, walk it like a dog ya, break it off ya. So that's number two.
I'm not the only one embarrassing myself.
Totally.
Here.
I killed her too. I also want to see, I won't be there, but like, I want like my friends to see like my conservative family members listen to the lyrics of Back That Ass Up at my funeral. So, and number one, this comes from my my debaucherous side. Pop Goes the Weasel. Wait. I want that to play very slowly with a casket that's closed, and I want the anticipation of everyone looking at that casket. Think da 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 da, and I want it to pause right there, and have everyone just the tension is palpable in the room.
Oh my God! Rather than take the tack of saying you are so demented and fucked up, I just want to say it's times like this that I am so glad to be trapped in this windowless studio with you, with no payoff whatsoever, except a lot of laughter. Okay, so what is next week's top three list?
Next week, our top three list is, what are the top three Kool-Aids that you drink? And I don't mean real Kool-Aids. I mean, like, what are conspiracy theories or things that you know are not real, but man, you can't help yourself.
And we will be right back.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I don't know how I'm going to approach this, but I can't wait to think about it 4 minutes before we start recording next week.
So, that is the truest thing you've ever said. Okay, our guest this week is somebody very special. Not only does he have the talent to be one of my favorite TikTokers, but he's also got the brains to be a real-life school psychologist. Maybe he can figure out what's wrong with Gavin. From the great state of Wisconsin, please welcome to the show, Nick Flieger.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
I also very much appreciate you in your email, like, phonetically spelling out your last name as, like, Flea as in flee the scene of the crime, and Gurr as in Gurr. Did you see what that motherfucker did?
Yeah, thank you for spending time with us today.
No, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here, yeah.
Good. One thing I want to say, this morning I went to kind of rewatch some of your videos, and it was like, follow Nick. And I was like, I have been following Nick for literally a decade. What are you talking about? And I noticed this happened with our guest a couple weeks ago, Owen Squires, where I went to his page. I had been following him forever, and it was like, it had unfollowed him at some point. So I want to tell you, if you see me following you this morning, I have been following you the whole time. I don't know what happened.
I noticed that. I did notice that, actually.
What is going on with TikTok?
So I was like, I don't. We'll say it's a TikTok issue.
It is a TikTok issue. It is not an ethics issue. But what I wanted to say was, when I joined TikTok 150,000 years ago, you were legitimately one of, if not the first account I followed, and definitely the first gay dad I ever followed. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of disappeared for a while.
I did.
And all of a sudden, you kind of popped back up in my feed, and I went, where the fuck has that motherfucker been? And that's when we reached out to you, because I was like, I love this guy. Where has he been? So I'm so glad that you're here, but where were you?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Where were you?
You know, I think it kind of just got to a point where I was like, I mean, I'm not like young, like I'm not like the teens and the very young adults on the app. So I think it just got to the point where I was like, I'm 38. What am I doing trying to make stupid videos that, you know, I can't really even come up with good ideas for and everything. So my husband and I, we both do videos all the time. We both just kind of like naturally kind of got away from it. And then, I don't know, we started making a little more content recently, not a ton. But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of nice. Like, I mean, I like being on there. Sometimes you focus a little bit too much on like the follows and the likes and things like that. So that part's been nice, just kind of getting a break from that. But I do like doing it.
What is your mission, though, when you're doing it? Is it just for your own entertainment, or are you trying to send out messages? I assume a psychologist is always going to be like, playing mind games with people out there. So,
no, it's just us being idiots, things that we think are funny. you know, whether it be actual situations that happened or just imaginary scenarios. It's never planned. It's always just kind of random. Especially Ben's, my husband's, if you have a chance to see his, he's not like a, oh, let's film that again type of person. It's one and done. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, this doesn't even make any sense. I don't even get what the punchline was there. So,
your finger was over the camera the whole time. He's like, yeah, good. Just yeah, let
it's
it.
It's fine. They can hear the voices. It's fine.
Don't sacrifice the good for the perfect. So just move forward. It's fine. I think that's a healthy approach to TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the part of what I like your account, we've had a lot of TikTokers on the show and kind of social media people in general, but everyone has their own kind of strengths and weaknesses. For me, what I really, 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 really loved about your account and why I still love it is that there is this beautiful balance of like you being funny for whatever reason, but also you being a regular person. Like you said, you're not trying to, you know, go crazy, but also that you never like leave behind the fact that you still love your husband and are sexually attracted to him and make fun of him. Like there's a really full view of your life and your relationship in a way where it might be a little bit, but it doesn't seem sanitized or divisive at all. It feels very real. You'll be like annoyed. One of my favorites are like when you're by the pool and he's annoying you for some reason. And then you're like, yeah, he's really cute. And then he's like, he does his like toddler stuff where he's like, watch me. And then he just jumps in the pool and you're like, what the fuck was I watching?
Exactly.
That stuff.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, that's all very, you know, like, of course, to an extent, you know, some of it is played up for the cameras essentially, you know, but the base of it is all just real ways that we talk to each other and act around each other. I think that's always kind of the goal, like, you know, try to be authentic while also making it clear, like, hey, this story that we told or this scenario that went on, often it's not 100% accurate, you know, because people often get mad about that.
As a psychologist, though, do you ever start to go down a rabbit hole of why we did this or should we be doing this or should I be doing more or any of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially the times where there's been maybe a video where, honestly, for me, it can take one comment that is negative to make me think, oh shit, like, what did I say wrong? What did we do wrong? Did I offend a group of people? God forbid. Or is it just people being assholes who, you know, just feel like being assholes, which is 95% of the time, you know, what it is. But yeah, I do feel like you kind of sit and you stew on it a bit. Even jokes that don't land or get like misunderstood, but still people think it's funny. I'm like, no, like that's not what.
Yeah, that's not the joke.
You know? Yeah. So it's funny. Yeah, you do find yourself like just kind of second guessing all that stuff a lot.
I remember having a video go medium viral, like, I don't know, like maybe a million views on TikTok. And it was just like a silly video of my daughter saying mama and then like showing a picture of, you know, me and my husband or whatever. And it was like, you know, let's say there's 1,000 comments, literally 999 were like, so cute. Haha. So funny. That's like my daughter, you know, all that kind of shit. And one person said that poor little girl. Mm-hmm. And I fucking thought about that faceless troll for weeks. And I hate that they said that. But same thing. I want to be like, no, you're the wrong one. I don't know. And what my personal philosophy is like, I keep those up. I don't delete those kind of comments because I think it's important for people to see that kind of shit exists. Do you feel like do you get a lot of pushback on stuff? Especially because a lot of your videos you talk about, you know, your husband's hot or you like, you know, there's you don't shy away from that stuff.
For sure. It's not too common. It was like a lot more like earlier on for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, it's the comments about, you know, being gay dads. It's the comments about parenting in general. Just some really mean spirited kind of nasty things. I mean, I always kind of go back and forth with that too. You know, sometimes just deleting the comment, I always am fighting the urge to respond back and
clap,
you know,
back.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And then I always have to remind myself, like, it's so pointless. You know, I'm not going to change their view, their opinion. So sometimes I'll just kind of leave them up. A lot of times it's just blocking the person because I'm like, I don't need this negativity here. And it's always interesting, though. Like, I can never predict what it is that's going to lead to someone saying something hurtful or mean or whatever.
But there's – I don't – I don't believe in doxing people. However, right. There is a certain amount of kind of clapping back that I really love on the app when somebody will do that, and someone will do a whole video going through their profile photos and being like, it's interesting you got divorced in 2017 and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just to be like, you can't really be anonymous on the internet, especially when it's a really fucked up, hateful attack on a stranger. Like, you don't know this person. They don't know you. They're just mad that gays be visible. You know,
exactly. It's true. It's so true. Yeah, that's what it always like boils down to. Like the comments about parenting, it always seems to be very heavily implied because we're gay dads. You know, I know one video that I had, very simple. My son a couple of years ago was looking all over the house for us, couldn't find us. The video is just of him saying, "Oh, I couldn't find you." And me responding back, "Well, you found us," as I take a drink from a drink. And for whatever reason, that one went, you know, somewhat viral. And so many comments were like, why do you have kids if you don't love them? Why do you have kids if you don't want to be around them? I was like, are you fucking serious? This was like a 15 second portion of my day.
Right.
How on earth are you making that jump? So yeah, it's always funny.
Well, speaking of judging parenting though, do you allow your kids on TikTok?
Do I allow it? No. Does my 11-year-old get around it? 100%. We actually just had to have a conversation with him this weekend. I feel bad, but he made a YouTube account that I wasn't super aware of. And I got some texts from some parents in the neighborhood saying, hey, your son was recording videos of the kids playing and posted it to YouTube. Our kids are very upset. Please take that down. I was like, oof. Fuck.
Whoops.
So, yeah, had to address that. I don't love him being on it by any means, you know, and we've talked about that a lot. I did go through just other things he's posted. It's always just dumb things and whatever. But yeah, you know, I work in a high school, right? So like I have a lot of, you know, experience with seeing how kids deal with what goes on with social media. And so I definitely don't want that, you know, for him. I want him to be a kid and have fun.
Ironically, I saw a TikTok talking about, you know, we maybe overprotect our children in real life and underprotect them online. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so true. Is like for those of us, Gavin is a decade older than us, but he's very,
actually,
very old.
Literally
a decade. but like when the internet wasn't what it was when we were kids as it is now. So all this stuff like, yeah, your son created a YouTube account and got videos of other kids and they didn't consent. Like that's stuff that we have to kind of learn as we're going from the parenting point of view that we didn't go through as kids. Like I had a camcorder and me and my friend would do like really fucked up videos, but like, but that wasn't going online, you know?
Right.
So that's a whole new world.
I'm curious, have you ever gotten in trouble? I mean, you play a visible role in a high school with impressionable kids. First of all, do they follow your TikTok? Second of all, have you ever gotten in trouble because of it?
Well, that's what got me in trouble was do kids follow me, right? Oh. So I don't know. You know, you can't see who's all on there. But yeah, no, there was a brief period where some parents were very upset when they found my TikToks. It turned into like a whole thing. I had to meet and talk with an attorney for our district to see if I broke any rules, which I didn't. But yeah, it was stressful, you know, and again, a lot of it was originally posed in a way that made it seem very clear that it was because I was, you know, showing my husband and our kids and, you know, how dare he.
You were existing publicly and that's disgusting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a little stressful for a while. There was even a conservative radio host who did a show about it.
But well, now that's an honor. That's an honor, actually.
Yeah.
If you can ruffle their feathers, that's an honor.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it kind of blew over. One of the things that was actually really nice about it, though, was there was so many people. So it had kind of started on like this Facebook group where someone was posting about me on there. And I was then like overwhelmed with emails from parents who I didn't know at all, just saying like, hey, we just want you to know, like, we don't care about this. Like, we think it's great. You know, we think you're such an asset to the community and all this stuff. So like, it was seriously like not even a handful of small voices that were trying, you know, that. And it really just resulted in like just feeling like really good about where I work. So that was a good part about it. But yeah, it was a little dicey there for a week.
No doubt. So what kind of stuff are you seeing as a school psychologist? Like what is the common kind of thing that you're challenged with?
You know, a lot of it, truthfully, it's a lot of just anxiety for a lot of different reasons, you know, just kind of school in general. A lot of times it's just like the peer interactions. Like high school sucks. I would never go back in time to do high school again. I hated it. But I really love working like with high school age kids. So I think that like, that's definitely like the biggest thing. It's like, it's really hard. And with this day and age, the social media, you know, just Snapchat, things get around so quick and easy. I think that it almost seems like so many kids are just like their baseline is elevated, you know? And so just what often can be like lesser issues in the grand scheme of things or whatever that might be, it just seems like so much more difficult for them to kind of cope through that. So that's definitely a big thing. You know, social media and phones and everything plays such a huge role in the mindset of kids, good and bad.
How do you feel about embargoes, like what's going on in Florida, banning TikTok, or even a movement to, you know, not give smartphones to kids before they're like 16?
Right. I find myself so complicated with that, right? You know, like, because again, at a personal level with my own son, he has a phone. He's 11. And so I obviously allow that, but then just seeing, you know, the kids that I'm working with and how that affects them, I would also love to be able to say like, okay, this is dumb. It's not bringing good. I think that I wish that we could help kids understand so much more that what they are seeing, you know, on social media, in these apps, it's not real life. You know, again, my own case, my Instagram, I'm not super active on that. It's the pictures that I want people to see, you know, doing the situations that I want people to see. Same with TikTok, all that kind of stuff. And so I just wish that kids like really understood that more, but they're just bombarded with it all the time. So yeah, I think it's just such a fine balance.
But that digital literacy is talked about all the time, right? Like they're cognizant of saying, yes, I know it's not real life. And yet I am really pissed that Brandy got to go to Belize and my life sucks because I didn't go to Belize like Brandy did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's for whatever reason, there's still just that huge disconnect. Because, any kid I talk to will fully realize like, yeah, I get that that's not like their day to day, but it's enough, you know, for them to still sit and stew on it.
But that's a similar issue with, I think, with like pornography is, right? You watch, the kids don't understand that when they watch, they think, oh, that's what sex is supposed to look like.
Right.
They don't realize this is this heightened, you know, this is a movie. This is a TV show. These are professional performers who have planned this stuff. This is not what it should look like. And it's at that age, it's so hard to understand that those are two different things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you have no advice for parents dealing with, you don't have any insider magical wand that you can give to all of us to say this is how you deal with it.
This is why gays shouldn't have kids. You don't have your magic fix. I mean, oh my God.
I know. I do think, you know, the biggest thing truthfully, and I often fail at this too though, but it really is like you have to try to be as involved as you can, you know, in their lives, including in their social media lives. You know, having those conversations just about like safe internet usage and, you know, kind of what they're seeing on social media, those sorts of things. And as much as you can too, trying to minimize, you know, how much time is spent on that, which feels like a losing battle. You know, I mean, it's like, that's just what our society kind of is now.
And how to sort through it all, right? Critical thinking and judgment and stuff, which we're, again, our generation was just lucky enough to watch the internet kind of become what it is. So we can very easily spot the email phishing scam or the meme that's not true or whatever. But for kids, we're like, this is just the arbiter of truth. Like critical thinking is probably a difficult skill to teach at this age.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And you do see that so much too, where it's like, even if you ever like read through comments on, you know, TikTok and stuff too, things that are very clearly like, oh, that was totally like a dumb skit, like for views, and like the comments are like, I can't believe you did that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, that's, you know, they're lacking that understanding that that is, I mean, the acting in it is terrible most of the time too, like, but they still
exactly.
they don't understand like that that's not a real situation.
So let's go back a little bit. So
sure.
So tell me, how did you meet your husband? And also, how did you guys become a family? How did you, quote unquote, get your kids, unless you stole them from a park? Yeah.
Well, so how we met, this makes me feel old. It was on MySpace.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay, boomer.
I know. It's so funny. Yeah. The interesting thing about it is that, okay, so like, we live in Wisconsin, small town and everything too. And so I was on there just, you know, I'd come out recently. It was my freshman year of college. So I was just trying to meet new people. And I had originally met my husband's stepbrother, who's also gay. And, you know, we were kind of talking and whatever first. Turns out he lied about his name and his age. And so when I figured that out, I was like, okay, nope, never mind. And so that was Ben's then kind of like pickup line swoop in was like, oh, hey, you know, my brother, so-and-so.
Speaking of porn, hey, my stepbrother, this, it's like, whoa, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So then, I mean, that was kind of it. We had friends who knew each other. Like we weren't in the same, you know, group, but friends who knew each other. So I was like, okay, he's not like a serial killer, like it'll be safe for me to beat him.
Yet.
I don't.
Yeah.
True. I like that growth mindset. so yeah, no, we decided to go out. We went mini golfing, went to Cold Stone, got some ice cream.
Wait, did you have a like it, love it, or gotta have it?
I was not like fully in the Cold Stone culture at that point. I think I probably just got like a like it of just chocolate, just plain chocolate ice cream. Fucking idiot.
Like,
I know.
Then
I
why it. Are you even there? Like, what are you
I know.
Doing?
He okay. taught me the errors of my ways. So,
like,
I,
no mix-ins or anything?
No, I was really dumb. Oh, I didn't understand like what it was.
You should get a divorce.
Do they bother with the Cold Stone when it's just like a scoop of chocolate? Like, who cares?
I know, right? Yeah.
They're like basic bitch on two.
truthfully, yeah.
Yeah.
I've learned now, you know. But we've been together ever since. So that was almost 19 years ago, 19 years in August. It'll be.
Dang, that's great. Congratulations.
It's a long time. Yes, thank you. And so, yeah, so our kids, they're both adopted. Beautiful, beautiful boys. Our oldest, he's 11. He was born right before I turned 27. So, you know, that was 26.
Wow, you were 25. Young.
I
new
know.
Par- new gay
we
parents.
Babies having babies.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we were very lucky with that. Truthfully, like it, looking back, it's like, how the hell, like we were babies. Yeah. How are we?
How did it happen? Well, tell us a little bit about the story. Yeah. How you adopted
so,
your first kid.
We both knew, like, you know, we wanted to have a family. We had considered like fostering and doing all that stuff. And at the time we lived in a much smaller town than even what we live in now. And we had talked to a social worker with the county that we lived in. And she was like, I'm just gonna be honest with you guys. No one's ever going to place a kid with two gay dads. So just don't even bother.
Wow.
And that pissed us off so much. We're like, well, fuck you. Like, yeah, we will. We're going to have kids. So we started, seeking out like private adoption agencies, found a great agency in Wisconsin who, has always worked with same sex couples too. Because a lot of the adoption agencies, especially around here, are faith-based, you know, so like they wouldn't necessarily work with us. We kind of got jumped right into it, you know, signed on and did all of our parenting classes, created our little profile. And at the time, we were actually really lucky to, they only worked with like 10 families at a time, essentially. So we were like on the waiting list. But our oldest son, his birth mom, didn't really connect with any of those 10. So she asked if there was anyone else. We had happened to just turn in our profile right before that. So she wanted to meet us and picked us right there. And it's pretty awesome. That was very cool.
That's awesome.
That's gay privilege, by the way. That's gay privilege right there. You cut the fucking line. Those 10 people were like, are you kidding me? But you cut the line.
Well, it's just like we did feel guilty to an extent though too, because it's like part of the whole adoption journey too, like when you're with an agency like that, you see on their website all the time, like, here's the waiting families, and you can read about each person. And like, my heart breaks for the people that are on there for forever. You know, it's like, you just feel so bad, because it's like everyone is on there because they just want to have a family so desperately.
Yeah.
So it's sad, you know, when it's not working out that way, but also it's like, I'm going to take mine and
bye.
Go.
Yeah.
And then our second son, he was a total different story. We got a call like, hey, this baby was born. You know, we quick showed some profiles. They're interested in meeting you. What do you think? We're like, yeah, sure. And Matt, next day we were picking up a week old baby. And,
wow.
Yeah. That was nuts.
You've been lucky. That's for sure.
Yes. Yep.
That's great.
Definitely.
And how did it feel after having one kid? How old was your first when you had your second?
He was 2 years, 2 months, and 2 weeks old at that point.
That is literally almost the exact distance of my two kids. So how did it feel to have two kids? Yeah.
It was nuts.
Did you feel overwhelmed? Were you just like, oh, this is just throw another one in the pile?
No, it was very overwhelming. Again, you know, you just didn't have the time to like mentally prepare fully. And yeah, you know, you go from a family of three to a family of four. We had also, the day after we brought him home, we were finalizing the plans for the house that we were building. So like we had a meeting with the builders, all that stuff. So when he was like 2 months old, we were living in an apartment, you know, like a two bedroom apartment. He slept in a pack and play, you know, in our room. Our first son was just like this tank at birth. And he slept really well through the night, like from the beginning. And then our second was just this little teeny tiny peanut. And, I had to wake him up every 2 hours to feed him. So it was tough. It was a brutal couple months in the beginning there, just adjusting to all that.
Now, as a psychologist, had you devoured all sorts of parenting psychology books? And frankly, are you superior to all the rest of us because you're so, you know, gifted in the brainiac realm?
No, I don't think we didn't read, you know, we took our little parenting classes that we had to take, but, you know, that was it. Like one of the funniest things to me was realizing how like, oh, maybe we don't exactly know how to be parents. With our oldest son, we in the hospital, you know, they have us in our own little room afterwards, which was great. And we're like, oh, he's got to eat. And then we're like, how much do you feed a newborn? So my husband takes out a regular, you know, full big bottle and makes like a full 8 ounce bottle.
All right.
Thank God the nurse walked in and she's like, oh, honey, no, no, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no, honey.
Oh, gosh. No. Oh, no. Not here. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. I mean, it always just feels like you're just figuring it out as you go.
Totally. Well, what about shit storms of times that you thought, Jesus, take the wheel. I have no idea what I'm doing. All of my degrees and oh my God, my kid is, I have no control here.
I feel like that's almost every day, you know, they just keep you on your toes, just random things that come up. My sons, they liked painting their nails for a while, 'cause I was, you know, painting my nails, and the bus driver made a comment about, you know, boys shouldn't be painting their nails. Again, my initial response was like, well, fuck him. Like,
yeah,
we're going to talk about this. And then I settled down. Well, actually Ben settled me down, which is usually it's the opposite. But you know, just try to work through that. Like, okay, you know, you don't need to care about what other people think. He's an old man, you know, whatever. You don't need to worry what he thinks about you. You do what you want to do. But yeah, it just feels like there's always, you know, almost every day there's some new thing that you have to try to figure out.
When do you think you earned your parenting stripes? Like, when do you think you were like, oh, okay, I've been shit on officially too many times to like...
Well, I always remember the, you know, when he was a day old and he pooped right in my hand. I didn't have a diaper ready, which is
like
dumb.
you were waiting for the communion wafer, and instead it was just an infant shit. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I just remember looking back at that too, being like, oh, that was so cute. But no, So it's always back to my oldest. You know, he when he was just under a year old, he had just really big adenoids, and his tonsils were kind of enlarged too. And so he would often throw up like after eating, or if he like would cough, like too hard. He would throw up. And so I had to bring him to the ENT. It's just he and I, it was like an hour away. And so they wanted to scope, you know, his nose. And so to do that, they wanted him to first like drink from the bottle so that as he's swallowing, they can kind of mm-hmm. scope it in. He obviously threw up everywhere and it was all on me because I'm holding him, you know? So like as a parent, you have your diaper bag. I have change of clothes for him. I didn't have a change of clothes for myself. So I had to sit through the rest of this appointment covered in his vomit and then drive the hour home covered in vomit. Like that was the point where I was like, from now on, I have to have a go bag for myself, you know?
Like, it was
horrible. It was, just that smell and the feel
and it,
was
and it,
horrendous.
And it only gets worse as it like ferments in the air, right? Like once you've been puked on, the initial smell is bad, but like as it just like lingers, I also would have accepted you threw your clothes in the trash and you walked out of that doctor's appointment shirtless
and made a TikTok about it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
I mean, it was everywhere though. It was shirt, my shorts, everything. Like, oh God, it was so bad. It was terrible.
And then those are the moments where like somebody swoops in and hands you a little parenting badge and you're like, you got this one. You know, like a little Girl Scout sash. We should start making those. We should make
H-Rex
branded Girl Scout sashes. And then you get one for, you know, get vomited on, you know, get told I hate you and I don't love you or, you know,
it's a great things. We'll put it on our website along with our show notes anytime soon.
Oh my God.
I love it.
I love that too. I think we can make tons of money on that. So you're from Wisconsin. We talked a little bit in the pre-interview where I work in Wisconsin once a year and I love it, love it, love it. Let's talk about cheese curds because cheese curds, for those of you who don't know, are just, it's just cheese. That's just pieces of cheese. But there is a thing called squeaky cheese curds. Can you please explain to everyone what this is? Because I thought the people I work with would tell me about this. And I literally thought, like, this is a joke. All Wisconsin people play on non-Wisconsin people.
Yep.
And then I realized it's true. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's chunks of cheese. and which is good. Cheese, there's no wrong way to eat it. I don't know what they do to it. I don't think really anything. It's just, I don't know. But when you bite it, it makes like a squeak kind of a sound. Like, like almost, I guess, imagine like string cheese, but just not stringy.
Yeah.
It makes this little squeak on your teeth.
David, are you telling me that in your preparation for this interview, you didn't go down an ASMR rabbit hole on TikTok
of people making squeaky noises? When they kept telling me, have you had the squeaky curds yet? And I'm like, what are you talking about, squeaky curds? And they're like, yeah, let's go get you some squeaky curds, which means fresh, by the way. Fresh curds or squeaky curds. But when Nick says they squeak in your mouth, he's not like, this is not just like a light little squeak. It sounds like a mouse is in your mouth. It goes squeak, squeak. Yeah. And it is the weirdest fucking thing. And
but
it's
how
delicious.
They're good,
it's just,
right?
Yeah, okay, it's delicious. Exactly. It's just it's just delicious cheese that squeaks in your mouth. And it's just a very, very strange thing. But
David, you are so accustomed to so many things making plenty of noises in your mouth. And thank goodness for the squeaky cheeses as well.
Amen. So, Gavin, do you want to like fangirl with him about running and stuff? Or can we end this interview?
I definitely, as a recovering runner who has no desire to run anymore, I do have to say running is awful. You'll see on the other side.
Yeah.
What are you running away from?
You know, I guess, okay, so running, honestly, okay, so here's the thing.
The okay and the school right together.
It's beautiful.
We've never had a more charming accent.
It's so charming. Yeah.
I always love when people point it out too, because obviously we don't notice it. Yep. And then I'll probably listen to this and be like, oh God, that sounds horrible.
Oh God. and our impersonation of it is, of course, insulting and terrible. Yeah. But luckily,
I love it.
We only have one listener in Wisconsin anyway. Hopefully, Ben, your husband. But anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
What are you running away from, Nick?
You know, nothing. So running is the only thing. I did not really get into running until like I was 30. And it was because Ben, who runs all the time, it's disgusting. He wanted to do a marathon, and I was like, yeah, fine, sign me up. I had, before that, I would run occasionally, like maybe 4 miles, you know, every now and then. But I ended up I liked every time, I did this whole training program, and every week that I ran a further distance, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. You know? So that was awesome. And then it kind of got to the point where it's like, well, like that's the easiest way to burn the most amount of calories. And so that's honestly, that's like the only reason that I run. I hate it. The whole time I'm running, I'm like, this is horrible. But then I can eat more.
Running facilitates
more squeaky cheese curds.
Yeah, squeaky cheeses and plenty of Wisconsin beer. And then you just run it off. So
yep, exactly.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming by. We love you. I love you. I'm sorry I followed you again this morning. I swear I followed you before.
Again.
But sure, I know. Yeah. But for those of you out there, please follow him. He's at Psych. PSYCH, it's Nick, which is a really great handle. Psych, it's Nick on TikTok and Instagram. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So my something great is my daughter is 2 and she's just kind of hitting that stride of becoming more of a real person who like thinks and has ideas and plays imaginary. She's one of the things that she's doing lately, which is very sweet, is when she like will ask me a question or want to know something from me, she'll turn her whole body towards me and look me right in the eyes. Like, Daddy, can I have more, you know, whatever? And there's just something about that, like eye to eye, she's just unfazed and looking right into my soul that is just, I don't know. I just thought this week, I was like, this is going to be my something great. I just loved it.
So my kid got a haircut yesterday and my son, and he has not been a vain kid at all. He definitely dresses in a way that he doesn't care what he looks like. But he does have a haircut now that is definitely a trendy haircut. And he has discovered a blow dryer. And he's in 5th grade. And there is something, he is so subversively paying attention to his looks, which I hope is never an obsession, but I just find it something great. Like, man, he's growing up a little bit and he's taking pride in himself. And it's a fun thing to watch from a distance, you know?
Yeah.
And that's our show. If you have any comments, suggestions, or general compliments, you can email us at gatriarchspodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can DM us on Instagram. We are at Gatriarchs Podcast on the internet. David is at David FM Vaughn everywhere. And Gavin is at Gavin Lodge on nothing.
Please leave us a glowing 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. And remember to join that Facebook group, OK Boomer, that David was talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Thanks. And we'll squeak with you next time on another episode of Gatriarchs.